Hi, and welcome to Lakeshore Update. I'm Dee Dotson. On this edition of the podcast, you'll hear the latest on the Gary Community School Corp distributing food to students under the age of 18 beginning Monday. Governor Eric Holcomb issued an order to shut all public schools until May 1st. Jennifer Weingart reports on how to talk to kids about COVID-19. And Chris Nolte has a conversation with Indiana House Representative Mara Candelaria Reardon. All of that and more on this edition of Lakeshore Update. Governor Eric Holcomb announced Thursday the state public schools will remain closed until May 1st. He has also called for private schools to close. State Schools Chief Jennifer McCormick says the state-required school closures could be extended through the end of the year.
There may be a need to come back and revisit that for the extended school year based upon what is happening in the dynamics of the situation.
The governor previously signed an executive order allowing schools to waive up to 20 instruction days. But officials say more days may be needed in districts not using e-learn during the closures. State exams have also been called off, including the iRead 3, iLearn, and iStep Plus for high schoolers. McCormick says the department is working to ensure current high school seniors can meet all of the requirements to graduate. The state is working with the U.S. Department of Education to waive federal requirements for student absences, school accountability, and assessments. The IDOE statement also says the department will continue pursuing federal waivers to allow school meal services to continue.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Despite the forced closure of the Gary Community School Corporation until May 1st, the district is committed to making food available to students as long as the quarantine guidelines permit. GCSC will distribute food items to youth ages 18 and under on Monday, March 23rd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. A fleet of buses will be dispatched to locations across the city and will stay at these locations for 30-minute increments before moving on to the next location. Food items will be handed out by district employees and representatives from food vendor Sodexo Magic. The list of distribution stops can be found on the homepage of the school district's website. Families are asked to bring bags, boxes, and any other items to help with the transport of their food items. The district advises to plan to arrive a few minutes early. Security will also be on hand to conduct orderly distribution while ensuring that social distancing is practiced. For full details of the district's coronavirus plan, as well as the student instructional materials, please visit www.garycsc.k12.in.us. Periodic updates will also be shared on the school corporation's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Northwest Indiana's trade unions are stepping up to donate N95 respirator masks to frontline healthcare workers while supplies are so low during the coronavirus health public crisis that some have threatened to walk off the job. The Northwest Indiana Building and Construction Trades Council is gathering boxes of donated masks workers normally wear at construction sites, steel mills, and oil refineries to donate to hospitals. Business manager Randy Palmatier said Heat and Frost Insulators, Local 17, already pitched in 5 boxes with 20 masks each. Pipe Fitters, Local 597, out of Crown Point, contributed 60 masks, and more are expected to come. Palmateer put out a call to 42 union locals and about 600 contractors in Lake, Porter, Jasper, and Newton counties that belong to the council to donate masks after getting a request from Lori Postma of the District 1 COVID-19 response in Northwest Indiana. Palmateer said the decision to help out was straightforward. Skilled workers typically wear the disposable masks over the course of a workday to protect themselves from drywall or concrete dust or other particulate matters, while nurses and other healthcare professionals have been frequently changing them out after seeing a few patients as a precaution during the coronavirus pandemic. Palmateer goes on to say he will limit the number of people who will handle the donations so as to minimize the risk of spreading the coronavirus. The hope is that more donations from trade unions, union contractors, and apprenticeship schools will come in. Workers will still need some masks as they continue to work at open-air construction sites throughout the region, but the local building trades industry will do what it can.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
The number of people being tested for the coronavirus has been limited by national shortages in tests and days-long waits for results. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Samantha Horton reports, Roche Diagnostics, with operations in Indianapolis, have developed a new test kit to address the shortage.
After 6 weeks in development, Roche is shipping about 400,000 tests for COVID-19 each week to labs across the country after receiving approval from the Food and Drug Administration last Friday. Senior Vice President Randy Pritchard says the company's kit can get results in 3 hours.
There had been testing methodologies available previously, mostly through lab-developed tests where labs make their own recipe to understand and identify positive patients. This was the first fully automated high-throughput test available for the coronavirus.
Roche is not saying publicly how much they're charging labs for the test, but Pritchard says the automated process should help keep test costs lower. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Samantha
Horton. You're listening
to
Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Thursday, Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb announced remote services for mental health, addiction services, and prescribing would be expanded statewide. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Jennifer Weingart reports, in the midst of a pandemic, those services are critical.
Being away from work, having kids at home, worrying about the coronavirus, all these things are realities right now, but they're not so great for our mental health. Kurt Carlson is the CEO of Bowen Center, a mental health care provider based in Warsaw. He says keeping on top of mental health care is important in stressful situations like a global pandemic.
There's a general heightened fear and anxiety, and if people are already anxious or depressed, this simply exacerbates that.
Carlson says Bowen Center and other mental health service providers are moving those services to telemedicine. Technologies like video chatting, texting, or even old-fashioned phone calls are how counselors at the center are reaching patients. He says right now, people can stay on top of their mental health by taking breaks from coronavirus coverage and doing things that relax them. I'm Jennifer Weingart.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Indiana's 2020 primary election will move to June 2nd in response to COVID-19 concerns. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brenda Smith reports Governor Eric Holcomb, Secretary of State Connie Lawson, and state party leaders announced the unprecedented change Friday.
Lawson says county clerks have reported trouble recruiting poll workers and concerns about health and safety logistics to hold Indiana's primary election May 5th. She says pushing the date back to June 2nd will ensure the state holds a, quote, safe, secure, and fair election. As part of the shift, the Election Commission is expected to allow all Hoosiers to vote by mail without an excuse, though Lawson says some clerks are worried they don't have the capacity for that.
That's one reason why we agreed to leave the in-person option.
Lawson says the state will still need poll workers June 2nd, and she hopes people out of work because of COVID-19 will get involved.
I hope that we can recruit and pay them to work our elections.
The Election Commission will make other changes next week to comply with the shift, like moving back the voter registration deadline. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Kids across Indiana and Michigan are home from school and encouraged to stay away from older relatives to reduce the spread of COVID-19. But how do you explain to your children all of these unprecedented changes? Indiana Public Broadcasting's Jennifer Weingart spoke to a psychologist from the University of Notre Dame about how to talk to kids about coronavirus.
My name is Darsha Narvaez. I am a professor of psychology at the University of Notre Dame.
Okay, so what should parents be doing right now as far as explaining things like COVID-19 and why schools are closed? What should parents be telling their kids?
Well, I think it matters how old the child is. For younger children, let's just assume the child is young, to say things like, everyone gets sick, you get cold, I get cold, and we have to stay home from school or from work to rest and get better. And sometimes, however, we get sick and we don't really know we're sick because our body's pretty strong and healthy and keeps us from feeling it. And the coronavirus is sort of like this. For some people, they don't feel like they're getting sick, or they are sick and they can walk around with the virus. For other people, if they get the virus, they get very sick. And so it's really important to know that you can have it but not feel bad. But it means you can pass it to someone else. Because if you cough on them, or you've been licking your fingers or something, and then you touch them, and then they touch themselves, their face, they can get sick from you. So it's really important to understand that the virus can be in people and you don't even know it, and you can pass it along to other people who are really vulnerable.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of parents that are concerned about who their children come into contact with as far as older relatives, grandparents.
That's right. Some people are more susceptible to this virus and they can get really sick and they can die from it. But we have to make sure that we do our social distancing, which means that we stay home when we can. We stay away from people 6 feet away and keep them from getting sick just in case we're carrying it in our bodies and we don't really know it.
What about what parents should tell kids about, particularly younger kids who aren't going to be in school for a while? This is going to be kind of a strange time for them without that kind of social safety net that school provides.
Right. So it's going to vary now by family here as to what impact it has. I'm kind of biased towards play in childhood. So it's a great opportunity for parents to be able to let their children play in all sorts of ways that maybe they don't get a chance to. So being out in the yard in particular, being out in nature, watching the birds or trees or ants, whatever is available, and study those things and get interested and play together, making up things, creative play, all sorts of wonderful things can happen outside of school. School for young children is very hard often because you have to sit still for so long and focus on books. And now this is a great chance to do other things that actually help build the brain. Play is what kids should be doing throughout childhood because it builds the brain and builds social-emotional intelligence when you play with others.
What about some older kids who might be taking not being at school as not being with their friends and not having that sort of environment for them, maybe like older elementary, middle school kids?
Yes, and this is where now the media, the social media, and connecting via phones and iPads and computers is actually a good thing. I usually recommend against spending very much time that way because it doesn't help our brains grow that well in the right ways. But now this is a time to use those tools because they give us a chance to feel connected in a way. It fools our brains maybe a little bit into feeling that when we talk to grandma or grandpa or our friend on FaceTime, you feel a little bit, you know, like there's some energy there, and that's really important. And I think we have to let kids have those social times.
All right. Is there anything else that you think parents should definitely be doing with regards to helping their kids through an unprecedented time?
I think it's a great opportunity to help children imagine how they can best connect with others. And I'm thinking specifically of grandma and grandpa. They should be concerned about touching grandma and grandpa or being near them, but they can still do things via FaceTime or the phone And they can do things that are creative to make grandma and grandpa feel better, or whoever it is that they're not face-to-face with. So you can ask your child to make up, get some jokes going, so you can tell a joke to grandpa, or make up a song or a story that they're going to tell them to try to make others feel better. So instead of just thinking about what I'm missing and what I can't do, think about how you can help the other people who are more isolated than you, who are at more in more danger, and help them feel good by the things that you can create and do.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Here's Regionally Speaking host Chris Nolte with a conversation with Representative Mara Candelaria Reardon.
Concerns, of course, all across Indiana about some of the latest cases of coronavirus, also the illness itself known as COVID-19. It's into Lake County now with three reports of persons confirmed with the illness. State Representative Mara Candelaria Reardon, who's a Democrat from Munster, is with us to talk about at least the state's response so far to the crisis. And Representative Reardon, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
Well, first, your thoughts in general here about what has happened and certainly the response so far here in Indiana.
Well, Chris, I think that we have a real opportunity here in Indiana to contain this virus. And, I want to preface my remarks by saying I am not a medical professional, and I want to thank all the medical professionals that are dealing with this on the front lines and trying to contain the virus but show up for work every day on those front lines. That's something that we can all be grateful for. Second, I want to say that, Hoosier families, businesses, our healthcare system has taken a serious hit, and we really need to contain the virus. We really need to make sure that our state government that does not have the capacity or the resources to address this pandemic on its own avails itself of the necessary federal funding and waivers to help provide relief for those families and businesses across our state. And as well, they need to support our healthcare system and our workers.
I know that there's the concern, of course, about not only the fact that from a national level, that there's been comments, complaints from some that not enough was done soon enough, and that we're playing catch-up now. Do you think that Indiana is in that situation, or do you think that we're trying to stay ahead of the curve as much as we can?
I think that we're in the same situation as everybody is nationally. We're behind the eight ball. We knew this was coming. I think that we had a very slow response from our federal government, and Certainly, relying on them has come at our detriment. We are trying to, now we are putting in place some of the safeguards and things that should have been here before. Testing kits, for one. We don't have them. We don't have them. We don't have enough of them.
Mm-hmm. I know that Dr. Woody Myers, the former health commissioner here in Indiana, who is now running for governor on the primary election coming up here, has offered up some ideas, his thoughts, strategy to deal with the coronavirus issue. If you will, give us an idea, at least what you think of what he has to say, his ideas, and how you'd like to see them implemented, if they are.
I think that you've got to, you've got somebody in Dr. Myers, you've got somebody that has dealt with a health crisis in the HIV health crisis back in the 90s. And you've seen that, you've seen how well he handled that. And I think it's important for us to take that heed and understand that he knows about these issues, right? He knows about containing diseases that are contagious and viruses that are contagious.
I know, too, there's also the concern about, from a business standpoint, and you being a business person, aside from being a state lawmaker, are certainly aware of this, the concern about the issues out there of hoarding, of supply shortages and the like, and no doubt you were probably among others over this past weekend may have witnessed the fact that it was difficult to get around in the supermarkets. So you want to have a little bit of a protective space around you, at least to avoid from catching the bug, so to speak. But the idea was that it was very difficult to get many items out there because shelves were quickly disappearing of items and concerns about hoarding and the like. Do you think that that the state of Indiana, number one, can do something or at least towards something about the issue? And I know that there is concern, too, about such things as price gouging out there, too, for items that people feel that they need.
I think that you're going to see bad actors in every situation, and I think it's a communication issue. I mean, people are hoarding things like water. There's no indication that our water supply is going to be affected in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. We have some of the best water that you can get in Lake County. We have a giant, you know, supply from Lake Michigan of water. It's just about education and communication, and people, when there are times of crisis, need to hear from their government, and they need to hear that things are under control, and that there's not a fear that we're going to lose our water supply. And I think that, you know, that's one big thing. I think people try to find some modicum of control in their lives when they're in crisis, and having toilet paper stacked to the ceiling might feel like control to people, and you have to understand where they're coming from and meet them where they are.
Yeah, I've seen some reports, and some people are recommending if you need to save something back, save back for a couple weeks. But beyond that is like you say, is hoarding. It's anticipating something that may or may not happen, and you shouldn't have to worry about that.
No, I mean, I agree. And I mean, we should be talking about things that the government can do better. Mm-hmm. We can increase the eligibility for unemployment insurance by earning requirements and expediting claims for Medicaid for those people that are going to need medical attention. You know, things like requiring employers to implement emergency programs for the next, 4 weeks of paid leave for their employees. You know, we've got to waive co-pays for those who use the Healthy Indiana Plan. There are, disbursements that we can make for the 2021 fiscal year right now for food banks across our state that are experiencing a higher than normal volume of traffic. Those are real things that we can do as state government to assuage those concerns and stop, people from feeling the need to hoard products that they ultimately may not even need.
I know there's also been, you talk about the bad actors that are out there, but there also have been some so-called good actors as well. We're talking about organizations besides the food bank of some of the school districts that are doing the best they can to help their particular patrons. What comes to mind, of course, is the Hanover Community Schools down in Southlake County offering up some bag lunches for family members that have youngsters that normally would be getting help at school with lunches or even breakfasts and are not being able to do so because schools are closed right now because of the coronavirus pandemic. Do you think we need to have more good actors like that step up and take over?
I couldn't agree more. And you see that all across, not just in South County, you see it all across Lake County here. Mm-hmm. In particular. You see school districts and communities coming together. There's a lot of positivity around making sure that kids that are on that free and reduced lunch program, that this might be the only meal of the day that they have. And so there are, efforts all across this county to make sure that people get fed and that, children are safe and they have, some continuity in their lives, that, they can still go to their school for some of their needs. And I think that you see that. You see schools being such an important part of kids' lives. And so when they close the school, this gives them a little bit of security, and it's not just about the meal. It's about knowing that that's where they can go to nourish their bodies and their souls.
Now, we should probably also mention, too, that Gary Community School Corporation is doing the same with set up for food distribution sites around the city because of the same reason we mentioned here, the fact that so many youngsters in the Gary School District have to rely on additional help, and that lunch or that breakfast is very important for them, and they won't have that now, for at least for a while anyway. So,
absolutely. It's very important to give them that continuity and that security.
In closing, Representative Reardon, any thoughts that you feel we should probably keep in mind as we continue forward dealing with the social separations that we have to deal with, distances, I guess, to stay well and to look at other precautions in turn to stay healthy during this crisis?
I think it's really, really important that we take the advice of medical professionals and follow the guidelines set by our government. It's very, very important that we do that to be able to contain this virus. As we've talked about in the past, it's not necessarily there are carriers and there are people that are vulnerable. And you may have this, you may have the virus, and it may not affect you the way it affects other people. We have to be cognizant of vulnerable populations. My father is 90 years old. I'm very, very concerned that he stay home and does not expose himself to other people outside. I have limited my contact with my father as well because I'm concerned about, you know, bringing something to him that he can't fight off. And I think that the more that people understand that this is very serious, and the better off we're going to be. Community.
Well, certainly, thank you very much for that advice. And if we follow the guidelines that are set forth, we're all going to get through this without any problem, I would hope. And we know even the people, unfortunately, who have been confirmed with having COVID-19 are going to do well. And if they're well taken care of, which of course they are, because they're in hospital, or even if they're just in self-quarantine at home, to be sure. And thank you very much for spending time to talk about the issue, your thoughts about it, and at least your feelings that the state government should do to follow through and make things better. Faster for everybody.
Well, thank you for having me, Chris, and I do believe that this too shall pass. We need to take precautions and be smart about the way we interact, and you know, we'll all get through it.
That's true. There too. The State Representative Myra Candelaria Reardon here in Lake County, and thank you very much for joining us here on the program today.
Thank you, Chris.
Regionally Speaking with host Chris Nolte can be heard each Monday through Thursday at noon on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and streaming online at lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can also find podcasts of the show when you click on the program link. For the latest in local news and information, tune in Monday at 6 a.m. for Morning Edition with local host Chris Nolte. Lakeshore Update is supported by the listeners and members of Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Podcasts for Lakeshore Update are posted each Friday on our website, lakeshorepublicradio.org, as well as on NPR One. Make sure you search for WLPR and select us as your home station. Music for Lakeshore Update was written and produced by bensound.com. For Lakeshore Update, I'm Dee Dotson.